a counsellor or a psychotherapist wanting to attract more clients more simply, then you, lovely person, are in the right place, because I'm here to help you navigate marketing and remove any confusion and overwhelm that you might feel. Oh, and ditch that critical, nagging inner voice too. So each week I'll offer you inspiration, motivation, and practical advice so you can get your marketing done and then get on with your life. I'm Jane Travis, and welcome to the Grow Your Private Practice Show. It's great to have you here. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode. And today we're going to be looking at being an introvert. So how being an introvert can impact you when it comes to marketing, and how you can actually use being an introvert to your advantage. And to help me with this, I've got my friend and guest expert here, Fifi Mason, who actually works with business owners and other entrepreneurs so that they can get more visible. But it's not about just being more visible. It's about doing it more comfortably, really, so it feels okay. Now, she's also a friend of the Grow Your Private Practice Club, and she's been a guest expert a couple of times, once looking at using Canva, which is, if you don't know, it is a design app, and once looking at Introvert Superpowers, which members really loved. Now, the replays are currently available in the club, so if you fancy seeing more of Fifi, come and join. But let me introduce Fifi to you. Fifi, it's really great to have you here today. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you for having me, Jane.
That's my pleasure.
Yeah, so I found my passion and purpose helping introvert business owners to get visible without feeling overexposed. And I didn't really start out doing this, but it was kind of a journey of self-discovery over the last year or so. I started out as a brand and website designer. And I knew the benefits of building a personal brand, but I didn't know how to put myself out there, and I really struggled with it. So I started working on finding other ways to put myself out there, and eventually got to this point where I learned so much more about personal branding and decided to go and follow that passion and just start doing it for my clients.
And it's interesting because I actually know Fifi. I met Fifi at a local networking event, and we've known each other for a few years now. And I've seen the process that you've been through of when I first knew you were interested in branding and website design. And you actually, I've worked with Fifi, and she's, if you know Sprout, like the little icon that I've got, Fee actually designed Sprout, which I love. So she is multi-talented, multi-passionate. So, and I think that's the problem, isn't it? When we've got lots of different things we love, it's so difficult to kind of really decide on one thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. I have so many passions and hobbies. But it really did, doing the process of personal branding and figuring out who I am and who I want to be and what my vision is and what I want from the future has really led me to this point. And I think that I'll always do a lot of those other things, but they don't have to be a career and they don't have to be a business. But yeah.
Yeah, so they don't have to be front and centre.
Yeah.
And I think that really ties in with counsellors. You know, so often we have multi-passionate counsellors who are so interested in so many different things, but from a marketing perspective, getting focused really makes a difference. And I know when I've seen your journey of not being sure which way you wanted to go, and then you decided that, yeah, actually I really want to work with introverts, and you've blossomed, haven't you?
I think, yeah, making that decision and finally going for it really did make a big impact for me. As I say, I started as a brand designer and websites, and I didn't fall out of love with it, but I just wasn't attracting the clients that I really wanted to work with. And I just had to find myself. I had to figure out what I wanted. And that's how I ended up getting to this point and really finding my people, the people I want to work with, the people who I enjoy working with. And also being able to help on a different level. Like I've experienced all of this so that I can help other people figure it out themselves.
Because I know that you're an introvert yourself, aren't you? So this is all lived and learnt experience.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And what's really interesting as well is that now you've found your niche, it's kind of exploded for you to the point that you've got your own online summit that's coming up in, when is it? It's August, isn't it?
Yeah, 24th to the 28th of August. It's the Quietly Successful Summit. And it's all about helping introverts to develop a visible and profitable personal brand business that aligns with their personality. So we've got a lot of different speakers in a lot of different areas, just focusing on mindset, on sales, on getting visible, on productivity, especially when it comes to the energy that we have to put into putting ourselves out there. And it's going to be fab. I think it's going to be a great event. 5 days, free tickets.
Free. I do like things that are free, to be honest. Free is my favorite. It's my favorite price point ever. Maybe you can let me have the details and I'll put them in the show notes. For anybody listening to this, if you look on the show notes, it'll have the details of the summit for you as well. So fantastic. Oh, cool. Cool. So let's have a little think about being an introvert. I'm an introvert. You're an introvert. What would you say is the definition of an introvert?
Okay, so an introvert is someone who is energized by being by themselves. They recharge by being alone, doing things by themselves. And they tend to, or we tend to, internalize our thoughts. We process our thoughts internally. So rather than an extrovert who will think out loud, we need time to process, to take things in, to analyze, to assess before we can kind of give our two cents. And that's generally the definition of an introvert, but there are some crossovers. Some people believe that an introvert is also shy, and that's kind of a misconception. And just because you're an introvert doesn't mean you're shy. There are a lot of shy introverts, but you don't have to be.
So what would be the difference there? How would you know whether you're shy or an introvert?
So if you're shy, then you probably tend to find social experiences anxious. You'll get anxious in social environments. So it would be, if you can imagine going to a networking event, you would be terrified to go in and speak to people. You'd be overthinking things. You'd be worrying what you might say. If you say something wrong, you might get embarrassed if someone talks to you. That's shy. It's more of the overthinking, more of the anxiety. But if you're an introvert, you're probably more likely to be fine going in there. You might have some nerves and some hesitation because you know that you're going to find it draining and not be able to follow along with some of the conversations that are going on. Because personally, from my experiences, I find that if there is a lot of people talking, I can't process the conversations quickly enough to contribute, and things go far too quick and I just can't join in. And then you start to feel like you're just standing there and being awkward, and that's when some of the anxiety kicks in and you start to worry that people think you're being standoffish or rude or things like that, or something's wrong with you. That is always something that I've heard in the past, oh, you're quiet, is everything okay? Mm. And it's like, it's fine, I'm just, it's a lot to take in. I'm over.
It's so annoying when people do that, isn't it? Yes. It's like, yeah, leave me alone. I'm just sitting here nicely and quietly. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're a shy introvert, then you might struggle with that and also worrying about what they're thinking about you. So if you have both, then, but the thing is, you need to remember that shyness is something that you can get past. It's just going to take practice. It takes time to think in different ways about the situation rather than worrying about what they're thinking. You need to take yourself out of that kind of thought pattern, and you can work past that. But the thing with introversion is that you're probably never going to find a way to get that energy. You're going to struggle if it's an overstimulating environment. If there's a lot of people, you will find it difficult to contribute. There are ways to help, like being prepared, having conversation starters, and making sure that you've got those things in place. But you will need to adapt to understand, like, that if you're going to do something social, and this is online as well, like online networking is just the same, but if you're going to do those things, you need to be prepared to rest, to re-energize, and take the time to be an introvert and and do the things you need to suit your personality.
So really the difference between being somebody who's shy and somebody that's an introvert is a shy person is probably a little bit socially anxious.
Yeah.
And if somebody's quite shy, then you can work on that to become less shy. Mm-hmm. So, you can go to a counsellor or do some personal development. But if you're an introvert, that's just the way you're built. It's not something that's wrong with you. It's just a part of who you are, and you don't have to change it. You just have to embrace it, maybe.
Yeah, embrace it and adapt. Understand what it means for you, because we're not all the same either. We all have different experiences. We're all unique. So you need to know how it affects you. Some people are more introverted. Some people are in between. You have to know your own mind, your own body, and react and adapt in the right way. So if you know that going to a networking event is going to drain you, you need to make sure you've got the time afterwards to re-energize and recharge, so that the next day you're still going to be on top of your game, and you just have to work with it rather than against it.
So really it's about intensive self-knowledge, really getting to know yourself and learn your processes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what are there any specific business challenges that us as introverts can kind of face?
I find that there are a few. So as I say, networking is definitely something that an introvert is going to struggle with because of the energy it takes, and the overstimulation and the thought processes. But I also find that online is the same, like putting yourself out there, always having to be on, having to be high energy. Like that's kind of how the industry has like made it seem, that when you have to put yourself out there, you've got to be this larger than life personality, and you really don't have to be, but it just seems like that. And then there's this pressure for us to do that all the time.
So there's a real fallacy that to be in business, you've got to be this bouncy, extroverted, superhuman. And I suppose that's why, as an introvert, it can leave us feeling a bit on the back foot, that I've got to pretend to be, I've got to put on a face, I've got to put on a mask and then be a different version of me, which is the thing that's so exhausting, isn't it?
And yeah, it's exhausting. And also because it's inauthentic, it's not natural, and then it just feels really uncomfortable, and then you don't enjoy it, and then you don't want to do it, and then things don't happen. Like, you're not getting yourself out there, you're not visible, you're not making steps forward in your business
because it feels like too much effort every time that you do it.
Yeah,
it's hard, isn't it? It's hard if we put ourselves under that pressure that I'm in business, that means I've got to be a certain type of people. And if that's the exact opposite of who we truly are, that kind of sets us up to fail, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And there's always this, you see it quite often when someone starts out in business, especially when they are more introverted, they try and hide and they become this faceless business, and it's still very inauthentic, but it also impacts the way that their business is perceived. They're not coming across as a personable business that someone wants to actually be involved with and work with. If you can't see who you are, if you're hiding, no one knows who you are. No one can learn to like you and trust you. And they're really important parts of building a business.
And especially for us as counsellors, because our business is built on the quality of the relationships that we have with our clients. So for us to be out there letting our warmth show, letting ourselves be our authentic self, is what is going to attract clients to us. And that forms the basis of all the work that we do with them. So it's really important, I think, that we could be just who we are. We don't have to be anything other than ourselves, and just get comfortable, I suppose, being that person.
Yeah, and that's in the last year something that I've been able to get so much more comfortable with, just learning to accept who I am, accept that I'm never going to change. I am going to be the quiet one, but I can still do these things, and finding my own ways of doing it and that suit me. So it's like taking the time in the morning. So I'm predominantly on LinkedIn, and if I'm going to be social in the morning, I will do that first thing, and then I have like an hour where I walk my dog to recharge and relax and get myself ready for the rest of the day. If I'm going to be doing a lot of calls and a lot of talking to people, I will make sure that I've got gaps in between so that I can make sure that I've got the energy and that I'm fully in the moment with the people that I'm talking to. And then also making sure that I've got time in to relax and be how I need to be to keep my energy up.
And that is so golden, isn't it? Because there's sometimes that there's this kind of fallacy that we should all be hustling and out there and doing this. And I think that's so, certainly for introverts, that's not the way it should be. And I'm with you. If I'm feeling a little bit like I need a break, if I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed, I go out with my dog. And I go out with my dog. Sometimes I'll not have any headphones in. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. And it just gives me a chance to recharge. So then when I come back, it's a different version of me. And it's kind of, I've just got that grounding, I suppose it is. Do you think it's grounding? Is that the word?
Yeah. It makes sense to me. It does. Yeah. Like it might not even be that if you haven't got a dog, but like going away and reading or sitting in your garden or just having something that breaks that cycle and not feeling guilty as well for doing that, because you need to be the best that you can be. So it's just, I know when I did start out, that was one thing that like having to like feel like I needed to be switched on and doing all the time was a big thing, and I would feel guilty if I didn't. But over time I've got to this point where I just know that I'm going to be more effective and get more done if I take the time that I need to recharge, process thoughts, think about things. And when I do take that time, that's when I come up with some of the best ideas.
That's so true. That is so true. I'm exactly the same. I'll sometimes, if I'm putting together a course or I'm trying to write something, or if there's something I'm trying to do, if it's not working for me, I need to get out. I need to do something completely different. And then when I come back, I feel refreshed. My brain starts to work again. You know, all those little cogs start working, and then I'm having ideas. I'm inspired. And yeah, if without those breaks, I think I'd just work myself into the ground and not have any new ideas.
Yeah, you just stifle your creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I suppose what you're saying is that, and you're right, sometimes we can feel that, oh, I'm not working, then I feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Or we think that there's a way of working. And maybe it's because if we're usually in employment, you kind of have to go to work, be employed, like do you work for a set amount of time? And if you're not working at all in that little bit of, you know, in that time, that's considered skiving, isn't it? So maybe we've got like some echoes of the past that says, if I'm going to be working, I have to sit at a desk or do whatever it is. And of course, we were talking about marketing here. So I have to sit at a desk and I have to do the thing for X number of hours. And that's kind of old-fashioned way of thinking about it, isn't it, really? When you're self-employed, it is you are in complete control of the way you want to work, what's best for you.
Yeah, and you've just got to work out how that works for you and figure out what is going to be best for you to be the most effective that you can be.
Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it? That's why I love being self-employed. You can literally make it work for you. So if you are somebody who struggles with getting out there and being visible and struggles with networking or things like that, do you have any tips for how we can kind of move forward from that?
Yeah, so I find that being prepared is one of the best ways. So making sure that you've allocated time for specific tasks, that if you're going to go and do something like, well, I like to break things down into really small bite-sized chunks as well. So rather than feeling overwhelmed by what you've got to do, or if you're approaching something like that's new, like maybe being a guest on a podcast, it's always good to like break down the tasks into, right, so the first thing to do is figure out what my topic could be. Then I need to go and look for someone who might want me on their show. Then I need to write the email to them, and just break it down into really, really small things. So you're not looking at the whole, oh my God, I need to find loads of people that want me on their show and I need to send all these emails. And it's just taking one small thing at a time, so you're not feeling overwhelmed. Then it's being prepared so that you know what you're going to talk about, what you're going to say, making sure that you have notes if you need them, that you've practiced things. When I go to a networking event, I have an 8-second statement. It's like most people call it a value statement, or it could be like an elevator pitch, or there's different terms for it. But it's just an introduction that I will say that really gets to the core of who I help, why I help them, and how I help them. And just having all of that and being prepared means that when I get there, I'm not worried about like there's so much going on, I feel overstimulated. I know what I need to say when I first introduce myself. So like things like that, yeah, making sure that you're prepared. If you're going to do like a presentation or anything like that, again, it's practicing, preparing, all of these things that are going to help you. Just do it and make sure that you are comfortable in that situation, not feeling as awkward, and that you're ready. Yeah.
So it sounds like there's a lot about the preparedness that actually just reduces the overwhelm. So therefore you're going to feel more confident when you actually, I mean, I'm just thinking about things like, what do you call it? When you imagine what you're going to, what do you call it? I can't think what it is. And athletes do this. They imagine themselves like doing the race and winning, don't they?
Oh, like visualize.
That's it. Cracking, my brain stopped working there. I wonder if that would work, like visualizing yourself doing the thing.
Yeah, definitely. I would do that when I'm going to do a presentation or like stand up in front of a crowd and do some public speaking, which I don't do very much of. But when I do, I have to like imagine the ending, imagine like seeing the smiley faces and everyone clapping, and that's going to get me through that. That's going to help me to get to the end of it. But again, yeah, being prepared, having systems and processes as well. Like, as I said, like breaking things down into small tasks, that's like having a system and process that, you know, this is the first thing to do. This is the next thing. This is, and I suppose I'm quite geeky, and I use, I like to use Notion to do all my planning. I get so into it, like,
and Notion's a productivity app, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like a productivity note-taking kind of all-in-one type app, and it's, yeah, and it really helps me to create the systems that I need. And I have systems for everything, so from creating a new product to writing a sales page to having a process to write stories for my LinkedIn posts and all sorts of things. I just have processes and systems and prepare and plan.
What I'll do is I'll link to Notion below, so if anybody wants to go and try it, they can go and have a look at that. But yeah, you're a very organized person. You completely put me to shame with my haphazardness, but I know your Notion. You have shown me your Notion, because I didn't know what Notion was, and it's so organized. It's absolutely brilliant. You use that for everything, don't you? Like your images and your blogs and emails and everything. Yeah.
Every planning thing that I do goes through it. It's like my second brain is how I describe it.
Oh God, I think I struggle to have one brain, to be honest. So we've had a look at some of the challenges that we can face as an introvert. We've had a look at some of the ways that it can be difficult. But what about the other side? What is it? I mean, you call it introvert superpowers. So what is it that we have as an introvert that can really help us, that really push ourselves forward and make it better for ourselves?
So yeah, the introvert superpowers are the traits and qualities that help us in different ways. So I like to break these down into practical strengths and character strengths. And some of the practical strengths are writing. So because we like to process our thoughts internally, getting things out on video or a podcast or anything that's going to not be our strong point, but writing things down is a way to get things out in an easier manner. So a lot of introverts are really good at writing, and even if you don't do a lot of writing, it might be something that you would find easier to start off with. It helps you find your voice, it helps you get some of those thoughts out of your brain. And even if you're not doing it as a blog or anything like that, you're just doing it for yourself initially, that's a really great way to just get stuff out.
So even doing it informally, and I know that for myself, I write a lot insofar as with pen and paper rather than typing. I find that helps to get my thoughts out easier. Do you find that as well? I think you're probably a better typer than me, though.
I type, yeah. Well, as I said, Notion has it's where I dump everything. So, yeah. But writing I love writing, and I never used to, because I didn't feel like I was a good writer. But the thing is, like, we can all write. You just write the thoughts in your head, the way it comes out in your head. Like, just be natural with it. And so what if there's a few grammar mistakes in there? And you just don't even worry about that. Like, no one else will care. It's just, yeah, getting your own thoughts out on paper and just start doing it.
Yeah, we put ourselves under pressure that it's got to be perfect. But
yeah,
I always say that if you can write, you can talk. Ultimately, if you can write, if you can talk, you can write. That's the got it the wrong way. If you can talk, you can write, because all you're doing is having a conversation, really.
Yeah, yeah. And I have such a intense internal monologue, and it's always like, I might be quiet, but inside my head, there's a lot going on, and it's like, so I just need to get it out. And it's like, the best way of doing that is writing it down for me. And I find that a lot of introverts are very much the same.
Do you find journaling really helps as well?
I've never got into it much. I have tried, and I suppose in a way, some of my blogs are very, very much my thoughts in that respect anyway. So, because my the topics that I talk, like, write about, they're not like always five steps to, or it's more of a, yeah. So it's more of my kind of theories and opinions, and that's where I'm starting to go with a lot of it. So yeah, I suppose that is.
So it's more reflection for you, really, rather than just how to.
Yeah, definitely. So another strength of introverts is observation. And that's because we don't tend to jump in a situation. We tend to sit back, watch, learn from others first, assess what's going on. And I find this happens with a lot of introverts in different situations. So getting started on a new social channel, they're not going to just start putting stuff out there. They're going to be someone who just observes everything. And the great thing about that is that you can learn from others. You can learn from watching what others are doing. And not only that, we're good at observation because we see things that other people don't see, because we take such a long time to observe and take in what and everything we can. So that's a big practical strength for most introverts.
And I think I've done that recently, because it was only in January this year that I started on Instagram. And I did a lot of looking what other people did, looking at how they said it, what works for me, what encourages me to comment on something, what I like to see. And that meant that by just observing and taking the time to examine it, it meant that I felt more comfortable with what I was putting out there. It was like, it's almost like practicing without practicing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that made a real big difference when I first started on Instagram, just by using a bit of observation.
Yeah, and I was the same with LinkedIn for some time. I didn't post very often. I started commenting first and just watching what worked and looking at what worked, and then coming up with my own ideas and experimenting and really taking that kind of way of doing it rather than just going all in with it straight away and just guessing. Mm. It's like using that skill of observation.
And I think that helps with that feeling of being overexposed, of putting something out there that you're not comfortable with. I think being able to observe stuff and think about what you want to put out there can really help with that.
Yeah, definitely. So another strength of introverts is our listening skills. So because we're not ones to jump in and talk, we are comfortable with silence, and that allows other people to speak. That allows them the opportunity to tell us more about themselves, and then we can read between the lines a bit better as well. Like, some people, they say something, but they mean something else. And that's because we can see that because we're really good at listening.
I mean, that obviously, you know, this we're talking about counsellors. And as a counsellor, listening is ultimately kind of, you know, a large part of what we do. So we can bring that into the marketing side as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And listening to what people want. And then just giving it to them. If you're always the one that's just talking and putting yourself out there, then you're not listening. You're not finding out what your audience really want from you. Using that listening skill is definitely going to help. The final one is, well, it's two together, is problem solving and creative thinking. They kind of go together because it's about, I think we're really good at seeing the bigger picture rather than focusing on one thing. It's more of this kind of whole look at stuff. And and approaching things in different ways. Like if you have a problem, you would approach, you might approach it differently to the way an extrovert would, because of the way we process our thoughts again, and the creative thinking, coming up with ideas, having, we give us, if we give ourselves the space, we can come up with unique creative things because we're such deep thinkers, and that's a really good strength.
So to give ourselves permission to take some time and space to do that.
Yeah, like because we need that recharging time, that re-energizing time to be introspective, to process thoughts, to think things through. If you do give yourself that time, you're going to be a much better problem solver. You're going to see the bigger picture, and you're going to be a creative thinker. You're going to have lots more ideas to help you have solutions or come up with solutions to problems.
Oh, that's just fantastic, because it's basically saying, don't be so damned hard on yourself. just don't put yourself under pressure. Try not to put yourself under pressure to do things in a way that doesn't suit you, and you're going to get further.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. In a nutshell, just be a little bit kinder to yourself and trust that it's all going to work out.
Yeah. And then, but then we've also got the character strengths, and these, I'll go through them quickly, are like empathy, perspective, honesty, authenticity, and this kind of deep desire for connection. So going back to the misconception of introverts being shy, it's not that we're shy, it's that we just have a desire to talk, to have a deeper connection and talk to one person at a time. It doesn't mean that we don't want to be with lots of people. I used to be shy. I used to be painfully shy when I was younger, but I enjoy spending time with people now. I want to meet new people quite often, but it is challenging. And when I do, it's much more rewarding to have a deep connection, like an intense conversation with someone and really get them in that, rather than being in a group of people where you just, it's all very surface level and you don't get to know them.
Yes, the dreaded small talk. Yes. I hate it. Imagine most people don't like small talk, to be honest. I think it's just the real extroverts that really love some small talk. I think so many people really dread it. Yeah.
But again, that can be improved by having processes. And I think over the years, I have developed ways to get around that. And one of the things that has helped is dyeing my hair blue.
Now, obviously, this is a podcast. You can't see Fifi, but she's got the most beautiful hair. That's actually a branded colour for your brand as well.
Yeah, so when I dyed my hair blue, it was because I wanted an icebreaker. I wanted to have a reason for people to come to me and talk to me first. And it became like a way to segue into what I do, because it's my personal brand colour. So someone will say, I love your hair, why did you do it? And I'm like, oh, it's my personal brand colour. And then I start talking about personal branding, and it just instantly takes it into that way, into that where I want it to go. So small talk there is processes and things that you can, like, if you have certain subjects that you can learn to make small talk about and then segue into where you want to go with the conversation, that's gonna move it quicker. So you just have a way of doing it and plan it and prepare again. Process.
So you don't have to dye your hair, but you could do something like wear like a brightly coloured jewellery or a scarf or something that makes people feel like they've got something to talk about when they come to you. And I'm just thinking, I did actually do a little help sheet about small talk, and I'll link that below because I've got a little help sheet about it. It's about preparing ideas for things to talk about when you're in a small talk situation, because my mind goes absolutely blank. I can't even think of the first thing to say to anybody.
Yeah, it just feels awkward, and then you don't want to do that kind of first initial. And it's very similar on, like, if you have a call with someone, it's not just face to face. It's like you're meeting someone for the first time on a call, like a phone call or on a Zoom chat or anything like that. And it's like, oh, you've got to do that. Like, oh, how are you? Oh, how's the weather? And it's really, really awkward. And
well, it feels inauthentic. I mean, one of the things about us as introverts is that we are authentic, you know. Mm-hmm. And so to say something that I consider really boring just doesn't feel, I suppose you have to kind of do it to a certain extent, but it just feels so fake.
It does. But then if you have ways that you're happy with, if you prepare that and plan it, that and then you do it every time, it will feel natural after a while too. If you've planned it right, it will segue right into where you want to go, the conversation to go. So, just like I say, planning processes and, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh, cool. Is there anything else? Are there any more superpowers? Because that's quite a lot.
I haven't got the, I'm sure there's plenty more, but like empathy, perspective, honestly.
So I think for us as counsellors, I think that because we're counsellors, we tend to have all of those skills. So it's about honing it and really stepping into that rather than think I've got to be, you know, more extroverted or a different kind of person, to just fully step into those skills that we already have.
Yeah, embracing them. That's what I'm all about, embracing who you are, accepting yourself and really figuring out what your strengths are, because these might not be your strengths. Most of them will likely be. They are, if you're an introvert, then you tend to have a lot of these. But yeah, go away, figure out what your strengths are, and then just work with them. And use them within your brand, within your marketing, within your business. Use them to give you that edge, give you the superpowers, move you forward.
So there's no need to copy what others do. Just really relax and listen to what's right for you and go with that.
Yes.
Oh, do you know, that feels so wonderful. It's like a weight coming off your shoulders that, oh God, I can just be me.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God for that. That's absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Fiona. That's really, really brilliant.
No problem.
Now, what I do is I do this little and finally section. So, I ask you if you've got any sort of tips or books or apps or anything that you'd share that would help people with this. I mean, is there something that you could share with us?
Well, I already mentioned Notion, but there is also, if you're figuring out if you're an introvert, trying to learn more about being an introvert, there's one book that I highly recommend, and that is Susan Cain's Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. It's eye-opening, and it really does delve into a lot more of what we talked about, and how you can accept who you are, accept yourself as an introvert, and not feel like you have to be extroverted. And it's a brilliant book, and I highly recommend that one.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. Thank you. So I'll link to that below in the show notes. Oh, Fiona, thank you. I still keep calling you Fiona, don't I? It's Fifi, I'm sorry. Fifi, it's really, really, that's brilliant. And I'm sure the people listening are going to have really taken a lot from that. And I'm hoping, for me, I think one of the biggest things really is being able to just step into the person that you are and just not try to be something that you're not. And like I say, that takes off such a weight. So I know that you write loads of really brilliant blogs. Where can people find those? And what's the best place for people to find you and connect with you? You said about LinkedIn.
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. You'll find me just by searching Fifi Mason or the Fifi Mason. And my website is fifimason.com. That's where my blogs are. And I also have a free download, which is on fifimason.com/embrace. And that's all about embracing who you are as an introvert, adapting, understanding, and on all of that sort of thing. So that is on my website.
Okay, and I'll link to that below as well.
Yep.
Fee, that was really brilliant. Thank you so much. I'm sure that people are going to have taken away loads from this. There's certainly lots to think about, lots of reflection for us. And as introverts, we'll be great at that, won't we? Thank you so much. And thank you for listening as well. If you've got any questions or if you've got any thoughts or comments about this, please come and link with me. You can usually find me at Instagram, and I'm at Grow Your Private Practice, all lowercase, no spaces. Come and join in the conversation there. And I look forward to seeing you again next time. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this, then please subscribe to the show. And while you're there, I'd love it if you could leave me a big, shiny 5-star review. Bye.